which we did find as juicers in the morning. We were morning juice people. You would get like this almost like rush of energy mm-hmm. after you drank one of these early in the morning, kind of the equivalent to a cup of coffee.
Yep.
It would feel like this burst of energy, and it was really because you're delivering your body this massive dose of nutrients.
Yeah, yeah, especially when because we always threw ginger in there, and I thought that was Woo-hoo! Always a great one to
you
kind of get
you
started.
The ginger.
Yep, that one got you started, got you going in the morning.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thank you for stopping by and checking out another episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. Before we jump into this week's episode, we got a couple of announcements for y'all.
So hopefully this is a familiar announcement for those of you who have been listening week after week. Thank you, by the way. So the Creative Loafing Best of the Bay 2017 is finally nearly approaching. Finally nearly approaching?
Yeah,
nearly
I guess that works.
Upon us?
Yeah.
I don't know how to say this.
Okay.
Basically, it could be open by the time you hear this.
Yes.
Or it could be like just a couple of days away. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't already, just check out cltampabay.com and go to their Best of the Bay 2017. It's very clearly marked on their website. If voting has opened, please check out and see for Best Local Podcast if Addicted to Fitness, yours truly, is there. Because if they are, we would so appreciate your votes. Just getting nominated, I think, is going to be worthy of, like, celebrating.
Yes. Yeah.
Maybe with a piece of cake.
Okay.
Or a cocktail for you.
Yeah. Okay. There we go. All right. So, and in addition to that, our other announcement is, like we've mentioned the last few weeks, is that we are still offering free fitness consultations. You guys can just email me at elementaltampa@gmail.com. Set up an appointment. We'll talk either through Skype, over the phone, through email, and we'll just talk about all things health and fitness and see if what kind of advice I can help you to help make your fitness top priority.
Basically, he's going to help you.
Yes, that's what I'm looking to do.
And it's a good way to kickstart if you're looking at a little bit, maybe you're not as motivated these days. Maybe the summer has just got you like too busy or preoccupied, but you're like, I really should do something. This would be a good way to kickstart that initiative.
Yeah.
So give him a shout.
You just have, the holidays will be here before you know it. So
oh
you want to get started
gosh,
now.
Yes.
Right now. All right. So let's go into that training recap we've had for the week. You actually just are fresh off another yoga immersion weekend.
I'm in my recovery mode from my yoga immersion weekend. Basically, I need like one day because I'm in classes for basically 3 days.
Yes.
And I need one day to recover, and today is that day that I'm in recovery mode. So it's still early in the day, and I'm actually already tired. I'm like, I could go to bed right now.
And you happen to be 28 weeks pregnant, correct?
I'm almost 31 weeks.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Almost 31
good,
weeks pregnant.
Good math there,
hey,
buddy.
Hey, how dare
good,
you?
Good math.
I mean, I could have swore 27 weeks was last week. Okay, anyways. So, yeah, then there's that, right? I'm sure that affects your fatigue level.
Yeah, usually by about 6 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm pretty much done. I'm yawning, and I feel like I could go to bed. So for all those people that are like, oh, I'm so tired by 9 o'clock, trust me, mm-hmm. I got you beat right now.
So just to kind of get people, I know we've talked about the yoga immersions before, but what part this weekend were you particularly kind of piqued your interest that you got to learn?
Well, if anybody's curious, I'm on like a 8-month yoga training program, and this is the 6th month. So I only have 2 months left, which is... That's mind-tripping, too, because it's actually gone hand-in-hand. But this week was much more about... we got to do a little bit more kind of focus on self-care as a teacher, the importance of self-care, which I personally think would be a great topic for a future podcast all by itself. The importance of having those things in your routine that are really about you and just how you re-energize and recharge mentally, energetically, and kind of keeps you sane.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about that. That was a great part of the weekend. And then we also did chair yoga. We took a chair yoga class, mm-hmm. which was really fun because there are obviously many different ways you can practice yoga, but there are even some great kind of more, I'd say they're more modern applications where people are getting very creative with the props that are used. And chair yoga is specifically for people that may have some physical limitations that don't allow them to get down to the floor. So like any good yoga teacher will tell you, yoga is there to meet you where you are. It's not about being this ridiculously, you know, fit, in shape, super flexible person straight off the get-go. It's there to meet you realistically where you are with whatever limitations that you have. And so chair yoga was a cool way to approach not being able to get down on the mat mm-hmm. and use some interesting modifications. So I actually have a picture on my Facebook or on our group Facebook. I was in a chair. I can't do like inversions. I can't do back bends, but I was sitting on a chair upside down because that was all I could do as a pregnant woman. That's all I could do in terms of like inversions. And it felt so good.
Mm.
It's the little things that make you happy. That's basically what you learn.
And when is your, so we have, you're done the 7th month of immersions? Was this the 7th?
Huh? Oh, this is the 6th.
6th?
I have 2 left.
So we have 2 left. And when is the last one scheduled for?
It's basically like the 3rd week of August. I mean, September.
Okay. Third week of September.
So, all right. 2 months left.
Okay.
I have a lot of things that are going to need to happen in those 2 months.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff going on in conjunction with that, too.
Yep.
All right, well, in addition to that, in addition to your yoga training, I did a lot of exercise videos, shooting a lot of exercise videos this week at Tampa Strength. Being the trainer there, I am getting also able to add to the online exercise catalog that we're building for YouTube. So we got to the option to have online training clients. So we are building out that library right now. We're adding up, I think we've got over 150 exercise videos right now, and we're adding to it almost on a daily basis. So we're really pushing that online training program from Tampa Strength. So if you guys are not only like, we've already offered, ETT's already offered the online consultation or the free fitness consultation, but if you're interested in online personal training, I can do that, provide that also through the Tampa Strength website, essentially. So we give you links, we basically build a workout for you based on your fitness goals, and then we just provide you with workouts with links to exercises through the catalog of the Tampa Strength catalog. So that's another option for you guys to train with ETT remotely. You don't have to move to Florida in order to train with us. So that's an option, and I'm going to keep doing that, adding more exercise videos. And you guys can see, like, I'm one of 3 trainers that are putting videos up there, but you can kind of see I have a little bit of a specialized niche, I think, that's kind of established on that channel. So check out that. We'll put the link in the show notes so you guys can check out the catalog. And if you're interested in maybe us building a workout for you, you can go ahead and get a hold of me at elemental@gmail.com. What? ElementalTampa@gmail.com. Sorry. All right. So another thing about training recap I think is important for us to bring up. And I'm going to stop talking. What's wrong?
Kind of sad.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Oh, you were looking like down.
Because it's sad.
Oh. Okay. Yes, it is kind of sad. I guess you were getting into a little somber mood.
Well, I knew it was coming. So this is like a... And this is by no means one of our announcements, so it's nothing personal. It's just, as a fan, I'm sad.
Yeah, well, let's get it, because hopefully people are on the edge of their seats right now. Our favorite, and then once we announce it, they'll be like, what the hell's wrong with you people? So our favorite Peloton instructor, Steve Little, or one of our favorites, I guess. My yeah. favorite, for sure. And I know one of Shannon's favorites. Steve Little is moving on to another endeavor, so he will no longer be doing the Peloton classes. For anybody that doesn't know what Peloton is, how about you let them, how about you give a description real quick?
Yeah, so Peloton is a cycling, stationary cycling bike, and it integrates with a really cool kind of touchscreen class schedule where they broadcast on demand and pre-recorded classes right through the bike so that you can have that spinning class experience right in the comfort of your own home. Mm-hmm. This is not sponsored, folks. This is pure love.
Yeah.
We got it a year ago, and we'll link to the review if you're curious about what this is and why we seem so oddly obsessed with it. Is just because we've been doing this now for a year. Before, really, I think people were big. This is like in now everywhere. This
yeah.
has popped up everywhere. Like celebrities have it in their homes and are endorsing it. And Steve Little has been there, I think, pretty much from their beginning. And he's a heart rate trainer. He's a zone trainer. And he was one of the first. He was one of the first trainers that really challenged me to go outside of my comfort zone when it came to spinning and look at it a little bit differently and really put the heart rate monitoring aspect on my radar.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just a funny guy. Like he's just like a guy you'd want to like hang out with and have a couple drinks with.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, it's kind of it's a sad reality to lose him as a trainer, and you're not going to see any more classes from him in the future. Hopefully they'll still have his old classes his catalog, there yeah. to help kind of educate people and be available. But yeah, it was just a bummer to hear that he's going to be going away, even though I'm sure if we knew him, we would be like, we're so excited for you.
Yeah, yeah, so I'm a huge fan of that, of his, like Shannon said, the heart rate style training, because I really think the zone 2 and the that training can really boost your endurance and really optimize fat burn too. So I'm really a fan of his stuff, and I like him too because he drinks coffee a lot when
he drinks coffee while he's spinning. So funny because...
Yes.
He's like unabashedly no regrets, no apologies. Just like, yeah, it's like sometimes this is what you do. He's like doing 3 classes in a day.
Yeah, and the thing is, like you said, he'll do max heart rate. He'll do endurance training, which is more like zone 2. But he really like, and as you mentioned, he focuses on, he gives you a different approach that you don't have to be going basically balls to the wall
yeah.
when you spin, you know? Yeah. You gotta focus on essentially progression, not necessarily just how many calories you can burn in
yeah.
given time.
So. And like how to basically establish if you do want to go balls to the wall, which mm-hmm. is really funny to say.
Yeah.
He gives you that really good advice on how to get there.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. I agree, and we will miss him.
We'll miss you, Steve Little. Don't think you listen to our podcast, but we will miss you.
I'm going to send it to him on social for sure. All right, so let's go and get into our first topic of discussion for this podcast. We're going to talk about the pros and cons of juicing. Now, this yeah. is something we have some pretty, you know, formal might not be the right word, but we definitely have experience with.
We have history with juicing.
Yes, yeah, we were really big into juicing for a while. We have a nice
kind of hardcore
Nutri-Blend or something?
Nutribella, I think is what it's called.
Uh-huh.
We'll link to the specific juicer that we have.
Yeah.
It's a really great juicer. But yeah, we've had it for years, and we went through, I think, a couple years there where we were really hardcore juicers. We
yeah.
juiced every day.
Yeah, we did. We were first thing in the morning, either you or I would wake up and then...
Early.
Yeah.
Really early. Yeah,
it's not a quick
juice
process.
Itself.
Yeah, and the thing we did that before, I mean, the reason we did that too, we woke up and then drank right away is because I remember you reading something about how you should drink it almost immediately, right?
Yeah, the benefits, like there is like under just oxidation and everything, there are certain health benefits that sort of start breaking down because
right.
you're essentially taking a whole piece of produce, fruit, vegetable, whatever, and you're you're either masticating it, which is going to be just like grinding it up, pulp and all, or you're condensing it, like pressing the juice out. And both of those, you're removing a part of, you're removing part of that item.
Right.
And it starts to break down.
Yep.
And it's in a much more raw kind of essential form.
Yeah.
There's debates. It's still good for you. You know, you can buy juice in the store. Right. And it's still going to be good. It's still going to have health benefits. But they said optimally, you want to drink it right away, because we also noticed there are some flavor profile changes if you start leaving it there, and the flavors, I don't know, some of them can get a little funky.
Right. No, I agree. And but you, like we said, you, a lot of this you learn from a book, which you can hear her flipping through right now. The Juice Generation, is that what it's called?
It is, the Juice yeah. Generation.
So we, I remember us getting that in addition to the juicer. So yeah, we were gung-ho for a little bit. I'm trying to remember, our recipe was like kale, you know, cucumber, apple, ginger, carrots, I think. I think that was kind of like our mainstay. I remember we definitely have some pictures of what we used to do, what we used to juice. So I'm going to try to look through and find some pictures of that.
Yeah, and we basically learned that flavor-wise, as long as it's got apples in it, it's probably going to be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So we would use apples as a base, and we would then add all of those really nutrient-dense, like, vegetables.
Right.
In to give it a bit more healthier edge. But we were both huge green juice fans. Like, we even, juicing is how I realized I actually love beets. And beets.
I totally forgot about beets too.
Super amazing in juice. I have no idea why I hated them for so long, because they're like nature's sugar. It's like nature's candy. It's vegetable candy.
Okay.
It is. Like, it's so good, and it has so many natural sugars. So. Yeah. I didn't know that. Yep. That was before, like, beet sugar was a thing.
So, obviously, we're fans, but we kind of slowed down on our juice intake. I think we got a little bit more educated on it, and I think what we're gonna do now is present some pros and cons.
Okay? Yeah, like so, everything. Right. You know, we're not like cults or anything.
No.
About, like, juice cults or anything.
Yeah.
I'd say we're pretty realistic about it.
Right. So what do you want to take? You want to take the pros or the cons?
I want to do pros.
You do the pros. Okay. Now, I compiled this little list of pros, and if Shannon has anything else, I'm sure she'll throw it in, which is good. These pros and cons, I should say, I gathered them from checking a couple different websites from trusted sources I know to kind of essentially gather what their input on what the pros and cons of juicing are. Yeah. All right. So number one pro, what do you got?
So it's a great way to get your daily dose of phytonutrients, because it's all fruits and veg, people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, super great. I don't even think, like, that's probably the number one reason that I did it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, because just thinking about eating, if you guys, we'll make sure, I know I've already said this, but we'll show you pictures of what we juiced. I mean, you see the pile.
How much went into it.
Yeah, that we juiced on a regular basis. I mean, thinking about sitting down and eating that, it would be quite the task.
It would be really overwhelming.
Right. And that's another thing that a lot of people, especially nowadays, and the way unfortunately our produce is, it lacks some nutrients. It's not as nutrient dense as it used to be due to, you know, transportation and just agricultural practices. So this is a good way to kind of get a mega dose of those phytonutrients in you every day. All right, so the number one con I've got written down there is, like, depending on the ingredients, it can deliver a large sugar spike, which means more hunger and less weight loss.
Yeah, you see a lot of people doing these, like, juice cleanses
and,
you know, juice fasting, and it's like, this could come and bite you on the ass.
Right, because we got to remember that vegetables, fruits, and more so fruits than vegetables, but they're carbohydrates, and mostly break down to sugar when they get into your body. So, I mean, if you have a large dose of that at one time and you do it on an empty stomach in the morning, you get a large sugar spike. And usually what happens with a large sugar spike is that you usually release like hunger hormones, leptin and ghrelin, and it causes you to be more hungry faster, and then affects, if your goal is weight loss, it affects your the possibility of you actually losing weight. So that was kind of one big con with three separate kind of different angles to it. But, you know, like you said, it's you're taking in a large amount of liquid carbohydrates, and usually what happens with that is a sugar spike.
Yeah, and kind of goes along with it is that just because these are natural and these are fruits and vegetables does not mean they are low in calories. Thus, the reason you're not necessarily going to be losing weight
right
by having juices.
Right, yeah, especially that, and all the amount, the sheer amount of fruits and vegetables goes into it. All right, yep. So number two, pro.
So because it's not all locked up in fiber, you know, this is just pure juice, your body can actually much more easily absorb those really good nutrients. Mm-hmm. They're not having to be digested to the extent that a full, you know, piece of lettuce or kale or something is going to need to be broken down, and then the waste is going to be broken out.
Right.
You're kind of doing a little bit of that just in the juicing process.
Yeah, yeah. You're making it a little bit more absorbable when you break it down.
Which we did find as juicers in the morning, we were morning juice people, you would get like this almost like rush of energy mm-hmm. after you drank one of these early in the morning, kind of the equivalent to a cup of coffee.
Yep.
It would feel like this burst of energy, and it was really because you're delivering your body this massive dose of nutrients.
Yeah, yeah, especially because we always threw ginger in there, and I thought that was Woo-hoo! Always a great one to
you
kind of get you started.
The ginger.
Yep, that one got you started, got you going in the morning. All right, number two, can be expensive. Like I said, if you buy all your vegetables and fruit at, like, say, Whole Foods, for example, I don't want to throw Whole Foods under the bus, but that could get pricey. Obviously,
your farmer's market is probably the best option.
I would say, yeah, that's I think farmer's market, if you have an option and you really want to kind of get into juicing, try to go there. And one tip I've heard about farmer's market, wait to the end.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll get, maybe you might not really get the fruit and vegetables that you want. Might be some stuff that's looking a little sad, but you might be able to get a good deal on it. And if you can go juice it right away, you could probably get some benefits out of it. So, but that's one thing, especially, you know, if you make it at home, you got to buy a proper juicer, which is an investment, and all the ingredients, which is a weekly or bi-daily investment, depending on how often you buy it. And then even if you buy already made juice at mm-hmm. like juice stores that are already around, that's going to be an investment also.
Yes.
All right. Indeed. Let's go back to the pros.
Number three, it is a great way to eliminate food waste.
Yep.
True fact.
Right, exactly. I mean, we have a problem. I'm willing to admit it, and it's unfortunate I haven't started our compost pile yet, which I really should. I always keep saying that, in addition to everything else we're doing, is that sometimes we have to throw vegetables out at the end of the week.
It's so heartbreaking.
Yeah, and it's really a shame. It's a huge issue that I'm definitely not proud of.
Yeah.
But honestly, I mean, with most stuff, you can just throw it in the juicer. I mean, especially if you don't have a discerning palate like me, you can pretty much choke anything down, which is hopefully nobody takes that audio clip and puts it on somewhere else.
Geez.
But yeah, it's a great way to basically, you know, not eliminate that problem of, you know, having to throw away vegetables or fruit and vegetables at the end
yes.
of the week.
Yeah, and it also means, though, if you do go and get something that's really kind of overly ripe, you know, like you were saying at the farmer's market, you can just go ahead and juice that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be still really a great option
right.
for you.
No, I agree.
So.
All right, the last con is that something we touched on a little bit in the beginning, or the first pro that Shannon listed, was that you lose out on the fiber. And that's a real thing. I mean, you're separating essentially all the phytonutrients from the kind of the macronutrients, because fiber is kind of one of those, kind of considered a macronutrient. But it's really important to kind of helping with digestion and a sense of fullness also. One thing that we've kind of developed and we've kind of evolved into, we've taken our juice game to the next kind of phase, is smoothies. You know, incorporating essentially whole fruit and vegetables in a smoothie, and then, you know, whatever liquid we want to do, and then we add protein to that if we want. That's kind of, we've evolved that so we can have both the benefits of the phytonutrients and the fiber broken down a little bit, but we still get the fiber. So it's a little bit easier digestible, but still it's not like, you know, it's, we don't miss out on all the fiber.
And so I will say there's a bit of a debate on this topic too, because there are different types of juicers. There's the one that's more either squeezing out, like pressing. What you frequently see is like cold press juices, and or I guess they also call them in this book the centrifugal juicers.
I think that's what we have.
Spinning. I was going to say we have a masticating, because it all goes through that ground up mesh screen.
Okay, maybe you're right.
That actually grinds it.
Okay.
Even though it's circular, I do think that we have a masticating juicer.
Gotcha.
But because of that, like, it's chewing the food, there is a certain amount of the pulp that does get into your juice. So there's some debate as to which juicing method is better. There's some that say the cold press preserves the nutrients better because it's also not generating heat.
Right.
But some of the masticating machines are also, they're not spinning really fast. They're not generating as much heat. So they're saying those actually do pretty well in preserving nutrients as well. There's so many other sides to juicing we're not even going to get into today, and so many different ways you can go about it, but that would actually give you a little bit more fiber if you are having that masticating kind of juicer, because some of that pulp is making its way into your juice.
Yeah, and you could always, with the one we have, it separates essentially the big piece of pulp from the juice, so you can grab a couple spoons full of that pulp, stick it in your juice if you really want to.
If you really like the pulp stuff, which I'm not a huge fan of, I'm not gonna lie, which is why I actually liked juicing.
Right.
Because I didn't love the pulp. I don't love chunky drinks.
So what do you like? Do you like smoothies or do you like juice better?
I like juice better.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're learning about each other here, people. See that?
I knew that about you.
I like juice better. Yeah. And I just think bang for your buck, kind of, as far as like, and your time, juicing just gives you so much. And I get why people have started to migrate over to smoothies, but smoothies are really heavy for me.
Right.
Drinking a smoothie, it's like a lot. And I don't feel like I'm getting quite the variety that I do with juicing.
Okay, I can see that. So, I can see the variety
purely
thing.
Purely personal preference.
Right? No, I can see the variety thing for sure, you know. All right, so what do you guys think? What are you juice fans or are you smoothie fans? Let us know. Please connect with us on social media. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And we're going to stick with the liquid calorie kind of theme that we started down. And we're going to talk about another liquid calorie item.
Yes. But before we do, we also want to invite anybody who has a particular type. If you're a green smoothie or a green juice fan, or if you are like maybe like a nut milk kind of fan, because that's technically considered a juice, or are you like your protein smoothie fan? What is your beverage style when it comes to juicing and smoothies? Let us know.
All right, so we're going to stick with the liquid calories theme. We're going to debate a question about some particular drink, and I'm going to throw it over to Shannon to ask the question about, to get this conversation started.
All right, here's the eternal question. Is alcohol actually good for you? Because who doesn't want to know the answer to that? definitively. You're probably not going to get an answer today. I'm just saying that, but you will get some information on both sides.
Yeah, so we're trying to find out whether consuming alcohol is healthy or not, or has health benefits, essentially. And we're going to lead off at saying that this is moderate alcohol consumption.
Yes,
this is not healthy. Not
binge drinking.
And this is moderate health. I mean, it's going to be essentially one, I think what they consider moderate is one drink, which is 12 ounces of beer, 5 ounces of wine, and 1.5 ounces of hard liquor. They consider that one drink. So one drink per day for women, 2 drinks per day per men. That's what they consider it moderate alcohol consumption.
Okay.
All right. So there's actually some studies that say that that type of alcohol consumption can be beneficial. The first one that I've always heard about, people talk about, is red wine.
Yep.
About how having a glass of red wine a day can provide a bunch of health benefits.
Right.
So I wanted to learn if that was actually legit or not. Because I've heard some people talk about it. I heard Dr. Rhonda Patrick talk about it in podcasts before. And personally, I don't drink wine. But I know the idea of alcohol consumption, for me, it's more of kind of like the relaxation it provides.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily if it actually has health benefits when I consume it in my body. It's the fact that it lets me unwind, which is almost
does deliver a certain amount, especially mentally.
Yeah, exactly.
Health benefit.
Right, that's kind of
in moderation.
Exactly. That's why, you know, I'm usually a 2-drink limit kind of guy whenever I do drink.
Nowadays.
Yes, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's another thing too. Yeah, now
we won't get into all the
right,
stories.
So
tweet me if you want the stories.
Oh my gosh, how dare you. But yeah, I think that's a big aspect of it that we actually, after doing all this research that they didn't really touch on or I didn't see, that the kind of the mental aspect of just unwinding and also being a social lubricant, being able to be a little bit more be able to interact in groups and things like that. So I think it does have benefits in that kind of aspect, but it also hinges on the fact if you can keep it to moderate consumption.
Yes.
So what we found, first off, we're going to stick on the resveratrol, if I'm saying that wrong, I don't know, resveratrol, which is in essentially the skin of grapes.
Of red grapes.
Red grapes, thank you. Yes, that's right. Well, it is actually, there is some in
it's
white
just
grapes.
It's not in higher.
Yes, it's much lower concentrations. And I believe they actually, red wine might ferment longer than white wine. Does that sound right?
Or does that vary? I think it varies.
Okay, so maybe it's just the red wine, like you said, because it's also this, resveratrol is also in things like blueberries too.
Yeah.
It's an
antioxidant.
According to the Mayo Clinic, possible benefits of resveratrol consumption include it prevents damage to blood vessels, reduces LDL cholesterol, and prevents blood clots. So that some studies have suggested that resveratrol can produce those benefits.
Mm-hmm.
But those were kind of based on, like we said, moderate consumption.
Right.
So
if you have this with a giant honking steak, you know, let me finish. If you have like 2-3 glasses of wine with a giant, you know, overly sized portion of fatty steak, you have like cholesterol and heart issues, that's not going to be something you can attribute to heart health. Like, you know, there are those people out there that is their ideal. Like, they have a glass of wine, they have a nice, usually something fatty on the flavor profile. I love food and wine, so I'm always going to think about pairing. Yeah, that's not exactly what you can call healthy, because A, you're probably over consuming your wine, and you're also contradicting some of the stuff that you're doing.
Right, but I don't think steak with fat will contradict that. You
know, no, I'm just saying, like,
we've found
health-wise, they've said generally red wine is good for your heart, right?
Right.
So,
yep.
it doesn't mean that if you have like heart conditions, drinking wine is going to be a solution.
Now I see what you're saying. Yes.
Or
yes,
having something else that is possibly not going to be helping you with a heart condition.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I'm saying.
Okay. I get that. Yeah. I just don't want you throwing red meat.
I'm not going to throw your red meat and fat under the bus.
Okay.
Gosh.
So.
He looked at me like I just slapped him.
Well, I disagree. So, so also now we want to move on to alcohol consumption in general. Basically, not all outside of red wine. Because I think that's kind of one of the common things people have heard about is red wine benefits. So what about alcohol consumption on a whole, like in general, moderate mm-hmm. alcohol consumption? So,
like the idea of medicinal, it's medicinal drinking?
Yeah, to a certain extent, yes. So there's actually been studies, research that has, the studies that suggest that moderate health moderate alcohol consumption is beneficial to your heart health. There was actually a Swedish study that tracked, I think it was almost 60,000 people over 10 years. And the data that they found was that, let me make sure I read this to get this right, is that drinking moderate amounts of alcohol lowered heart failure risk by 33%. Okay, and we're definitely gonna put the link to that study in our show notes so you guys can investigate it a little bit more. But in addition to some of those positive studies for alcohol, there's also been negative ones.
Yeah.
You want to read the next one we got down there?
Well, it's kind of like goes hand in hand. It's like while other studies have claimed that even one drink could cause irregular and possibly harmful heart arrhythmias.
Yes.
So.
Right.
Inconclusive, basically, would be our determination here.
That's a good way to put it, is that, you know, analyze both studies, I think, because we'll put links up for both of them up. You know, obviously, you can compare the methods, the research methods to see which one is a little bit more kind of holds more to the gold standard of kind of like double blind and things like of that nature.
Yeah.
But I think what they both studies say in of them, and when I read them, is that, you know, the data that they gathered does not prove causation. It does not prove, neither one proves or disproves that alcohol can be heart healthy.
Yeah.
You know, what they want to hit on is that, you know, there might be possible benefits for people that are already healthy.
Yeah.
Having moderate alcohol consumption.
But kind of think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, because they talk about some of the failures of the studies, about how they didn't document what the people, if they drank before.
Pre-existing conditions.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. So those studies, that's why sometimes research can be misleading. Headlines can be misleading because you don't know about, and plus they relied, especially these studies, they relied on questionnaires. They relied on people answering these questions honestly about their alcohol consumption.
Yeah, and it's super easy to get really excited when you see a headline that says, drinking champagne helps prevent Alzheimer's.
Yes.
Like, I almost peed my pants when I saw that. I was like, oh my God, this is great!
Yes.
And then I was like, no, it's probably too good to be true.
Yeah.
This is very inconclusive.
Yeah. So if you ever see any headlines like that, or any crazy headlines like coconut oil isn't healthy for you, make sure you read the entire article, then go to any links that are in that article to follow up on the research they did so you can make a more educated decision. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't take it as gospel. Don't take a headline as gospel
Yeah.
For Pete's sake. All right.
And no, for when it comes to alcohol, like, if this hasn't yet convinced you, if you're a healthy individual and you do drink moderately, there very well could be some upsides to certain items that you drink.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just like certain items are going to be higher in sugar, those are probably going to hurt you a little bit more.
Yep.
Know kind of what your drinks are. Like, I feel like we've learned we have our safety drinks.
Right.
And that's kind of the philosophy that we go by. It's like we know the items that are going to not dehydrate us
mm-hmm.
and not, you know, over sugar us, basically.
Yeah, I mean, that's what gives me the worst headache the next day. Refined sugar.
Craft beer.
I love craft beer, but I get punished for it the next day, even if I have a couple.
Yeah, and kind of.
Oh, no. How dare you? I think that's a first.
Oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed.
You guys heard it here first. Didn't silence the phone.
That's my iPad.
Oh my gosh, it's not stopping. Multiple devices are going off.
Sorry.
All right, so we're coming on to the end anyways, folks, but I want to say this before we get off this topic about drinking alcohol, because this, obviously, all these things we just brought up about any possible health benefits were moderate alcohol consumption, which we outlined is one drink per day for women, two drinks per day for men. Excessive alcohol consumption can lead to things like liver and pancreas disease, death, heart failure, hypertension, cancer, stroke, behavioral issues, and obesity, just to name a few. Okay?
Yeah.
The CDC stat for deaths attributed to excessive alcohol consumption between 2006 and 2010 was a rough estimate of 88,000 people a year.
Yeah.
So...
It's still a huge issue. I mean, and...
So I don't want anybody to think that we are promoting alcohol consumption.
This could be a much longer conversation, yes, but we'll just say we're not here to endorse alcoholism or you know, the abuse of alcohol, purely addressing the topic that's been out there about whether there are health benefits. You know, we all, I feel like, know there's risk.
Right.
But are there benefits? There could be.
Yeah. Right now, preliminary research says there are possible benefits, but further research is necessary.
Yeah.
All right. I think we'll end it on that note. You got anything else for him?
No. Let's go have a drink.
Oh, how dare you?
You're pregnant. Just kidding. I can't even have a drink.
All right. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks.
She's got her head in the corner by the chair.
Jess! Get out of there.
What? What?